What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, May 20th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the engaged one at Tim Geddes.
What's the most? How are you doing, Greg?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic.
How are you hanging in there? Because, of course, only the Twitch people understand this right now.
Yeah.
We are recording this an hour early. Mm-hmm. You are... Kryptonite is getting up to you.
Exactly.
That is, you can't do that, let alone this early. How are you feeling right now?
I'm actually okay because I've been having trouble sleeping, which helped me this time.
Interesting.
Because I was awake anyways.
Oh, what time did you get up today? Or did you not sleep at all?
I don't know. It's been on and off. But the game is over, Craig.
Yeah. Oh, that's what you couldn't sleep about. Game of Thrones.
Sleep.
No spoilers.
Just like, oh my god. In my head.
Check out, of course, Kind of Funny in Review, recording right after this early as well. Yeah.
Because we're going to the big flow.
That's right. We're going to flow. Barrett, can you get a Google check? Do they call Florida the flow? The big flow? Thank you for Googling it. Throw this up full screen. Do they call Florida the big flow? Sorry, I didn't mean to stump you with that. Yeah, it's top of housekeeping. I'll get to you right now, ladies and gentlemen. Well, you know what? I'll do the whole thing. We'll talk about flow in a second because, of course, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. You can go there, give us your questions, comments, concerns, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record it live on twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or listening on podcast services around the globe. Barrett, do they call, what do we got here? Throw it up. Do they call Florida the big flow? And then all about Florida, Shepherd Software, no. What is Flo Rida's nationality? That's not it. Flo and Eddie. Doesn't look like that. We can start it though.
Yeah, we're going to start it.
All right, so if you didn't know, housekeeping, Greg and Tim are going to be in Florida this week, all week, for the Full Sail Hall of Fame. If you are at Full Sail, if you are going to the Hall of Fame, you can come hang out with us at our on-campus meet and greet Wednesday at 1 p.m. in Building 3EB Lobby. Then at some other point during this week, we're doing an Orlando meet and greet.
Yes.
Last I heard, Joey had almost finalized the detail of the
Wednesday
venue.
Wednesday night is what we're targeting.
Okay.
And I'm saying 95% chance it's Wednesday night. We're just trying to lock
in
a venue that can have us.
Sure.
Is willing to have us.
And if not, then we'll just say.
One look at Greg Miller's face, they're like, I don't know about this guy. We got some trouble here.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, yeah, whatever. Florida is putting up with Florida man every day. All right. They can handle a Greg Miller once in a while. Big flow. We are going to Orlando. We are excited. That's why we're doing everything earlier, because we have an earlier flight to get there, which still gets there at like 9:30 at night.
Yeah.
Life.
Do you guys have a layover or something? Or?
No, we're going really far across the country.
We're going back in time.
But what's very exciting... We're going forward in time. What's very exciting, of course, is once we touch down, it's over. Greg Miller is officially United Silver Mileage Plus.
Oh, shit.
Right. I finally have earned back into status after our breakup with Alaska Airlines. I know. Meanwhile, it's taken a long time to get there.
I'm like a peasant.
I mean, steerage. And it sucks that then on the flight back, I'm not going to be able to talk to you. I won't even acknowledge you're alive because you suck and have no status.
That's true.
If you're United, give us gold. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack, Tom Bach, and Mohammed Mohammed. Today, we're brought to you by Quip and Third Love, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be an incredibly jam-packed Roper Report. Time for some news. 6 items on the Roper Report.
A Baker's Dozen.
And I'll get ahead of it now. I'm going to drink the water now.
Yeah. It's a long read there.
Because I've been living on the iced coffee this morning so far. Having a great time. Very enjoyable. Very excited. Mm-hmm. It's awesome when it's like,
jittery.
Cool. I got one show this week.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Boop, 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 boop. I can spend all the energy here. It doesn't even matter. Gah! You know what I mean?
Yeah. What's going to happen
Corey,
here on Kinda Funny Games
Daily? Do that
daily.
Gift, but then put somebody's face here. Shuhei's face. Not that I want to fight Shuhei. Well, I'm just saying, like, but make him look like Zor. Number one, Sony's deal with Microsoft blindsided its own PlayStation team. This is Yuji Nakamura and Dina Bass over at Bloomberg. This is a long read I'm going to give you here.
And I'm just going to start off. Never a good sign.
What? No, that it blindsided him? It's a long read.
That they blindsided him.
Yeah, of course. I'm going to tell you right now, it's a long read. I'm going to give it to you here. We can stop. We can take breaks. We can go to the bathroom. On top of that, this is only I'm cherry picking from this article. Mm-hmm. This Bloomberg article is awesome. I encourage you all to go to Bloomberg and read it. Of course, last week, the world shocked when Sony and Microsoft came out and were like, hey, we're breaking partnering up.
During the show.
Yeah, exactly. You and Fran covered it. I went back to watch to see how you did. You did a great job, by the way.
Thank you.
But if you somehow missed it, what happened is Sony was like, guess what? We're going to work with Microsoft for cloud gaming stuff. So basically PlayStation Now or whatever will be able to use the Azure cloud. I know that's not how I'm supposed to say it. Azure. Mm-hmm. If Nick would have let me put up the chalkboard paint, this would have been really helpful. But he doesn't do it.
I highly doubt that.
Well, you know what? Nick sucks. Everybody knows that KFAF sucks. Let's get started. Oh, I'm sorry. So that happened last week. We've talked about that, obviously. However, Bloomberg does some great reporting here. Not only at, hey, funny thing, it totally caught PlayStation off guard. Here's what the rumblings are inside of PlayStation. Here's who are going to be, could be winners and losers out of it. It gives a lot of context, which is what I think we all missed last week, where it was a lot of, I was in an argument back at Judges Week about it, where it was like, oh, well, this is totally going to affect crossplay. And I'm like, I really don't think so. It sounds like it's just, well, when did that? It was so general last week. Bloomberg's got a whole bunch of context out of it. When Sony Corp unveiled a cloud gaming pact with arch rival Microsoft Corp, it surprised the industry. Perhaps no one was more shocked than employees of Sony's PlayStation division, who have spent almost two decades fighting the U.S. software giant in the $38 billion video game console market. Last week, the companies announced a strategic partnership to co-develop game streaming technology and host some of PlayStation's online services on the Redmond-based company's Azure cloud platform. Did I nail it?
Azure. Remember the Dashers commercial?
No.
Okay.
It comes after PlayStation spent 7 years developing its own cloud gaming offering with limited success. Negotiations with Microsoft began last year and were handled directly by Sony's senior management in Tokyo, largely without the involvement of the PlayStation unit, according to people familiar with the matter. Staff at the gaming division were caught off guard by the news. Managers had to calm workers and assure them that plans for the company's next generation console weren't affected, said the people, asking not to be identified discussing private matters. That difficult moment is part of a painful lesson that Sony and many other technology companies are facing as the world's leading cloud computing providers become more powerful. If you aren't spending billions of dollars a year on data centers, servers, and network gear, you can't keep up. Faster internet speeds are starting to allow games to be played remotely without the need for a local machine. That's a threat to PlayStation, which generates a third of Sony's profits. Microsoft's Xbox faces similar risks, but the software giant has the second largest cloud service, so it has a strategic answer. The other leading cloud providers, Google and Amazon.com Inc., are building their own cloud gaming services. Realizing that his homegrown cloud service isn't going to cut it, Sony Chief Executive Officer Kenichiro Yoshida is being forced to collaborate rather than confront his old gaming nemesis. Quote, Sony feels threatened by this trend and the mighty Google, and has decided to leave its network infrastructure buildup to Microsoft, said Asymmetric Advisors strategist, Amir Anvarzadeh. Why would they sleep with the enemy unless they feel threatened? Sony jumped 9.9% on Friday, the most in 18 months. The company has announced a record share buyback, but analysts pointed to Yoshida's speed in responding to a shifting video game industry as a positive factor. Sony became the first big video game company to enter the cloud market when it bought U.S. startup Gaikai Incorporated in 2012 for $380 million. 3 years later, it was rolled out as PlayStation Now, letting users play games hosted on servers miles from their living rooms. The service has since attracted 700,000 paying subscribers, but a decision to host it in-house has led to ongoing complaints about choppy connectivity. The company's other online gaming service and main cash cow, PlayStation Network, enables multiplayer matches on games running on the PlayStation 4 consoles. For now, that is still hosted by the other giant of cloud computing, Amazon Web Services. Sony and Amazon held talks last year for a deeper collaboration on cloud gaming, but couldn't agree on commercial terms, according to a person familiar with the matter. That led to Sony's discussions with Microsoft, that person said. Amazon is currently developing its own cloud gaming service, the information reported last year. The key question is who really wins from this partnership. Most analysts agree that, at least in the short to medium term, it's a positive for Sony. Cloud gaming isn't ready for prime time yet. When Google unveiled Stadia in March, some users reported mixed results, including delays in registering actions and reduced graphics quality. Greg put the same paragraph twice. Over the long term, some are warning Sony could be the loser. Currently, it charges publishers like Electronic Arts Incorporated and Capcom up to 30% of sales made through PlayStation consoles. But if streaming takes off, it will have to compete against Microsoft while paying its rival for cloud access. That could leave Sony struggling to stand out both on technical and pricing terms. again, so much more there. Yeah. But I loved the context here. Obviously, the fact that there's this tidbit that it totally caught PlayStation off guard that it was happening. They had a panic. Is it still everything's still normal? Yeah. I love the context here about short and long-term stuff, that mm-hmm. things we wouldn't know, we can speculate on, but I always like when it's a big business thing involving stocks and the yeah. higher-ups to have somebody in there on that thing. And then, of course, yeah, this idea that they're getting into bed because they do feel threatened by
my
Google.
My favorite line of the whole thing is, why would they sleep with the enemy unless they feel threatened? Like, is this Game of Thrones? Like, why are you being
It is, right? Like,
right,
I mean,
now?
That's how this all works, and I appreciate them, you know, giving context to, or not even giving context, but you know, I just think it's a great report. It's a really good, hey, if you don't understand what's happening and you have missed a lot of this, including the Gaikai information, $380 million for Gaikai.
Yeah.
Here's where we are, and that's when you get to, all right, cool, what is this going to lead to in the end?
I was saying this last week when it was breaking, but like, this makes a lot of sense for the future of video games. We need parity between multiple console makers, game developers, first parties, really is what I'm trying to get at, in order to be able to push the competition between third parties. You need to be able to have more places to put your third party games, or else it just becomes this exclusive battle. And while that sounds like a good thing, I don't think that it is for the industry. I feel like it's always important to have first party exclusive titles, and a handful of exclusive third party licensing deals here and there. But when there's a clear winner of why would I play games anywhere else when they are better here, that creates a situation where third party developers are going to be like, well, we have a limited install base of AAA titles that we can make. So it either needs to be absolutely worth it, or we're going to go to the other guys and make lesser titles. And that's where you get, I think, Switch things, or if PlayStation lost this fight, PlayStation, or Xbox lost the fight, PlayStation games. And I just feel like that isn't what we as gamers are looking for,
sure.
Especially as we're leading into next generation. You know, for the last decade, we've seen the growth of indie games and kind of the split where the bottom or the middle fell out of
sure.
The
double A's.
It's starting to finally come back a little bit.
Thanks, THQ Nordic.
And I feel like we want this kind of breadth of content, this mm-hmm. diversity of titles.
Not everything needs to be a 60-hour God of War AAA experience.
But we want those, and we want a 100%. Lot of those, and I feel like we will lose a significant amount of them if third parties aren't incentivized to create them. And I feel like having a cloud-based platform that, or backbone, is
a
very
more unified
important.
One,
yes,
a more exactly. simple one. This is
something
this
that
is,
works across both things in the same way that we talked about for years, the cell processor of the yep. PlayStation limiting third-party titles or any developers having trouble, even first parties, making games for the system.
Yeah.
Whereas now we're moving towards this cloud future, and the more parity there is between the two, I think the better for gaming as a whole.
Of course, yeah. But it does get into this interesting thing of, how, if we're all doing the same stuff and using the same stuff, how do you differentiate anymore, right? And this does, you said it yourself, if there's one clear runaway, this is the best place to play, right? As we see Xbox slide across the backdrop here. Like, I'm still putting my chips on the Xbox side of the table for next gen.
There's what the answer to your question is simple. It's games.
Yeah.
And right now, Microsoft doesn't have those. It is PlayStation with the exclusive games, and Microsoft needs to bring that. And none of this other stuff matters if they don't have that. But it all starts to fall apart if that's the only thing people are buying it for. For years, people say, oh, you're only buying a Nintendo system for first-party Nintendo games. And I would argue that that is probably true. But we're finally at a point where there are enough first-party Nintendo games consistently coming out that it is worth the cheaper entry point that the Switch provides.
Sure.
At what point is it not worth it if PlayStation only had Last of Us and Days Gone and Detroit? Like,
yeah.
Only the first-party titles. Yeah. It'd be worth it to a lot of people, but I don't think enough to be able to, you know, tell Sony we need to keep making these games. Everything could change so quickly if
100%.
They fall back a little bit too quickly. And I think that Microsoft is making a lot of good calls. And all of this, everything that we've been hearing the last couple of months, them talking about Xbox Live on Switch, Cuphead coming to Switch, seeing them do this, I really feel like we are seeing Microsoft gear up to be a service, not a hardware manufacturer. They want to be the Netflix. They want to eventually have PlayStation games on their system. I mean, that's the ultimate win, right?
Sure. Do you think we ever get there?
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be overnight, but I think that if they're smart and
you think next generation,
this way, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel there's a couple key questions we need answered about next gen first for me to say that it's not just going to be by the end of next gen or by sometime next gen.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if Xbox just becomes this platform And it's like they have Xbox systems, but their goal isn't selling the systems. It's selling the service. The systems are just kind of the nice way to get people to understand that they're still in the...
You buy this box, this whatever $100 box, if it's the super cheap Scarlet, the more expensive if you want the 4K thing, but and that's the way to do it if you had nothing else.
Yeah.
I agree with you that I think the way Xbox is building, we've talked about it before, right, where I do believe that they're going to figure out how to get onto Switch for sure and have the streaming service there, you know, this Xbox Project xCloud, get it there and have it there. And then it becomes like, cool, where else can we get it? How else can we get it? And if they do, if it actually works the way they talk about it in that video, right, where it is that you can stream it to an iPad or you can, or a tablet, you can stream it to a phone. I'm sure Apple's going to get in the way of this. Then, yeah, then it is, that is their future. That is what they're building for. And, yeah, it'd be nice to have that you go buy an Xbox to do it, but they really don't give a shit in the long run as long as they're making money off of that service, right? It becomes a Steam situation where Steam doesn't give a shit where you play your Steam games as long as you're playing Steam. They don't, that's why they don't make PCs. They just make the service and put it everywhere.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if they can get to that point where I don't even know, it'd be interesting about, the end of next generation, right? I feel like that's what this, we've talked about the digital future and we talk about streaming more than ever. I think even usurping the digital future we talked about or accelerating it, I guess, the evolution of it.
Yeah, being with it.
I feel that this is, this next generation is going to be the wheels finally lifting off. Of like, here's where we're going. The plane is taking off, and or at least trying to. Does it crash before it even gets, you know?
I would argue we took off this generation.
Yeah.
I mean, like, look at the percentage sales of digital titles.
Sure, like, sure, fair. I just mean getting into a real situation where I think at the end of that, at the end of the next generation or closing in, we'll be in a, we'll know more. We're going to know what Microsoft's doing. We're going to know what's happening. I do think
we're further along, though, than that. Because when we look at the last generation, this generation of games going on compared to the last generation where online gaming was then compared to where online gaming is now.
Right.
And we look at where we're at now with where Xbox Games Pass is already.
Yeah.
I feel like
you're right.
It's going to be a much quicker acceleration to get up there. And it, there is just a lot of infrastructure questions that need to be answered. And it sounds like Azure is one of the things that's it's going to answer them, you know?
Yeah.
Is that answer good enough? I'm going to imagine it is.
Oh, God, I hope so. Right. I've said this before, and I know I'm beating a dead horse on it, but like we're getting ready to go to Florida today, right? In my backpack's the PlayStation 4 and the game screen, like and my iPad. I pray that, like, 5 years from now, it is that it's just a controller in the iPad, and I can stream whatever I want to it, and I'm using Azure servers, and I'm beaming it all perfectly, 5G. And all great. Yeah. Because that's the thing, you know, I was struggling with the hotel Wi-Fi for my PlayStation 4 to play Division or stuff, and it wasn't even the struggle of the speeds. It was a struggle of logging in and getting it to work, and I of course, tweeted about it or something, and somebody's like, oh, man, well, you know, Google Stadia, right? Making fun of like streaming future or whatever. But it's still like, well, no, that's not the problem, right? It's the, or I was trying to remote play it. It doesn't matter. But it's the idea of like when it actually gets there and it is actually here and it is communicating to these super fast servers and it only needs a little bit of a, you know, whatever, 5 bits up, 5 bits down or whatever. That's a different situation than where it is right now where I'm trying to beam the whole fucking game over to this crappy thing and then ping a server and do these different things.
I remember a time where I dreamt of being able to look at GameFAQs forums on my phone. And I had a flip phone that had internet and you could go, but it was really shitty and bad. And here we are now where I can watch 1080p videos on YouTube within seconds, movies, anything that I want, right? Things are just moving so much faster than they ever have before. And it all stacks on top of each other. And I really feel that I understand there's a lot of doubt about these cloud-based gaming systems working. I think that they are going to work a lot sooner than people are giving it credit for. And I think that these moves are important. I will say it is very concerning that key PlayStation people didn't know. I wonder who they are. And
so classic PlayStation. Yeah. Or I'm sorry, classic Sony. I shouldn't even put on PlayStation. Everything I've ever understood, on the record, off the record, on background, whatever, is that Sony is such a siloed place that nobody talks to anybody. Same thing where we talk about all the time, where that Sony Music division started making games or whatever and putting them everywhere, and they're like, what? How the fuck did we not know? Why? What? Like, it's mind-boggling.
It is, and I, you know, this article is interesting because it, we need to know who these people are and what they actually do or don't know.
Sure.
And if the key people they need to know, know.
Did Sean Layden know? Yeah.
If it is as simple as like they've been working on this plan and it's like they've been having people work on what a cloud thing could look like, whatever. Now it is just a matter of switching it over to this. I know it's not that simple, but like all things considered.
It could kind of be right, like where your servers are, exactly, where your information is living.
I don't fucking know, but
yeah, we're idiots.
It's one of those things where this could be a like, or it could just be like, no, you just didn't need to know this information yet. Yeah, not everyone knows everything.
Yeah.
But again, I think it's good, and I think that it's very important that it's so public that Sony and Microsoft, arch rivals, are partnering up for this. It's like, this is going to be good for the future of games.
It's interesting where I think they talk about it here, right? Of over the long term, some are warning Sony could be the loser. Currently, it charges publishers like Electronic Arts and Capcom 30% of sales made through PlayStation consoles. But if streaming takes off, it would have to compete against Microsoft while paying for its rival cloud. I really don't think that's going to be losing. You got to pay somebody anywhere.
Exactly.
You got to pay somebody to stream any of this stuff. Like, does it really matter?
No, it doesn't. Because at the end of the day, it's not. We always talk about this. Winning and losing in this is a silly thing. Are you being profitable and making money?
No.
Like, if PlayStation's paying licensing stuff to Microsoft to use the shit, it's like, cool, great. Microsoft's getting money, and hopefully going into their games.
And EA and Capcom would still be paying to get the game on PlayStation. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they're not making money. Currently, it charges publishers like EA and Capcom up to 30% of sales made through PlayStation consoles. And there, when they say that, are we talking digital or is that everywhere? I don't even know what the retail breakdown is.
They're talking
is,
about digital there.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think they have to worry about streaming, so you have to worry about your profits being cut into anyway. I mean, but
look at the record industry, right? When Napster happened, and then that resulted in iTunes, and iTunes changed everything. And yeah, then all of a sudden people have to give the money to iTunes when before they had to give it to random ass record distributors. So it's like, it's going to go somewhere. And this is an interesting thing where it's going to their direct competitor,
yeah, in quotes.
But Microsoft, the thing is, Xbox, PlayStation, Sony, Microsoft are such different conversations.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah,
like Microsoft and Sony, I wouldn't necessarily call them arch rivals in any sense besides video games. Sure, they're both console PC manufacturers, or at least have been.
Nobody's Sony out there buying a out. Sony PC.
Don't hit on the Vio. Okay,
get out of here,
it had its crap. Moment. It had its moment. But yeah, whatever. This is good news, I think.
It's gonna be interesting. Number two, speaking of Sony, Sony launches a games to film / TV division with PlayStation. This is Patrick Shanley over at The Hollywood Reporter. Sony Interactive Entertainment has launched PlayStation Productions, a production studio that will mine the company's extensive catalog of video game titles for film and television. The new enterprise, headed by Asad Quizzlebash and overseen by chairman of Worldwide Studios at SIE Sean Layden, is already in production on its first slate of projects and has set up shop on the Sony Pictures lot in Culver City.
Boo.
Whoa, you haven't heard it. Quote, we've got 25 years of game development experience, and that's created 25 years of great games, franchises, and story, Sean Layden tells The Hollywood Reporter. We feel that now is a good time to look at other media opportunities across streaming or film or television to give our worlds life in another spectrum, end quote. Then we're jumping over to Asad. Instead of licensing our IP out to studios, we felt the better approach was for us to develop and produce for ourselves. One, because we're more familiar, but also because we know what the PlayStation community loves, end quotes. Sony Pictures, a sister company, will help with distribution, but production of projects will be handled by PlayStation Productions firsthand, not licensed out, as is the case with similar enterprises at other game companies. Back to Sean. Quote, we looked at what Marvel has done in taking the world of comic books and making it into the biggest thing in the film world. It would be a lofty goal to say we're following in their footsteps, but certainly we're taking inspiration from that. We want to create an opportunity for fans of our games to have more touch points with our franchises. This is still Sean. When fans beat a 40 to 50 hour game and have to wait 3 to 4 years for a sequel, we want to give them places they can go and still have more of that experience and see the characters they love evolve in different ways. And you're going to sit here and boo that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know that you're looking forward to a trailer for the next God of War, but here is a trailer for Powers. You can watch it soon on your PlayStation video game console.
Fuck.
That wasn't bad. I was bad. Boo. Yes. That's boo. That's superfluous information.
No, it's not.
That was a comic book. That was them trying something.
Sean Layden.
Yeah.
Talking about this right now?
Yeah.
No. Maybe somebody else. Not Sean fucking Layden.
He's the face of SIE.
Great. Then don't be doing this then. Here's the thing. In a perfect world, I love this news.
Yeah.
We see how this is going to go. This is a distraction. This is hubris, Greg. This is the beginning of a downfall. This is a dark timeline. This is not going to work out.
Dapper
the moment
Steven
they start talking about
PH.
Marvel, it's like you are just chasing this fucking high.
Dapper Steven with a PH writes into Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Hello there, KFGD. Has the day finally come for us to have a good video game movie? Can PlayStation Productions finally crack the code on how to bring them to life without all the woes of other games to movies are known for? As we are gamers, always going... Are we as gamers, in quotes, always going to hate on these type of adaptations, no matter the quality, because we can't separate that feeling we get from an interactive experience of playing them to the passive experience of watching them? Or will we be able to separate those biases like we have with comic books to movies and be able to bring in a new era of awesome movies like Marvel has done over the past decade?
Detective Pikachu, man, it just happened and it was a success and it worked. And it didn't work because it was made by Nintendo and only they understand the characters. Other people can understand the characters and what matters to gamers. It's the world. You need to know how to make a movie, though. And I think that is the key difference. You can't just be like, well, we got half of this.
Here's the thing about it is, of course, anytime anybody's like, we want to make a movie or a TV show out of this video game, it's like, oh, God, here we go. You know what I mean?
Because we're still waiting on the Crazy Taxi.
We've been burned so many times. Maybe this Witcher Netflix series, right? Which is based on the novels, and I know.
That is right. Like, this is such backwards news to me where it's like, in a world where we have Netflix, we have HBO.
Yeah, yeah.
They are hungry for this content. Give it to them.
I hear you. And hopefully this isn't the total ship sailing on that. I know they talk about trying to... It's more that they're handling it internally, which I like. Because I don't like the idea of when they were trying to get this Uncharted movie going, and they still are, I know, and trying to get The Last of Us movie going, right? And it was that thing where they'll have a meeting with Neil Druckmann, but he's not directly involved with it, and he fucks off. Now, granted, Neil a video game maker, not a movie maker. I feel like... Don't get me wrong. Will this ever bear fruit? I bet we get like maybe one or two weird animated shorts of Ratchet and Clank or some shit like that, right?
Well, here's the thing is like, it's, you can't talk about Marvel. Like, first off, that is the moment you do that. I get it. That's great goals. Like, for you. Don't actually say that though, because that just shows that you're just money hungry, looking for the it thing that you could just keep making money off. Second off, it reminds me of Marvel in a different way, where they would have never started with Iron Man if they had X-Men and Spider-Man at their utility belt. And guess what? They're making an Uncharted movie. Last of Us is being made. Ratchet and Clank already happened. What are we going to start with PlayStation? Resistance?
Medieval. Tied into the remaster, you idiot.
God damn it, you're right.
a Patapon kids show? Come on now, you talking about it?
Man,
and that's the thing, is like, you want to sit here and shit all over it. If we wanted to boot up, Barrett, turn on the PlayStation 4, boot up PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale for me right now, all right? And we can go in there and we can look at it. We can see this the lineage, the history.
Little Big Planet, different. The show?
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the thing. I love this idea. If we get a PlayStation cinematic universe that actually works and builds upon itself, I can't even finish the sentence. This isn't fucking happening.
Do you think? Yeah, that's the thing. Do you think we'll get anything out of it?
I think we're going to get a lot of annoying ass things that get in the way of trailers that we want to see. You know what I mean? Like, can you just not see this at a press conference? How they talk about this?
I mean.
Remember the Rabbids commercials during the Ubisoft conference? Do you remember those?
No, I remember. I hold out no hope for it getting to anything good. You bring up the best point, right? Is I feel like your PlayStation, you don't know how to make movies, right? So like, why get involved with that? I still think when you look at Marvel Games, that was one of my favorite thing, right? In terms of when they announced Marvel Games, right? It was that, cool, we're not building an in-house development team. We're building a team of people who know how to make games and then partnering with studios that make great games.
Exactly. That's what it is. That is the opposite of this. That's Marvel Studios being like, we make movies and it's working. We want to make games, but we don't do that. Let's partner with the right people. This sounds like the opposite. Having said that, Sony does have film divisions.
Yeah, well, yeah.
The film division. So
Sony Pictures, a sister company, will help with distribution, but production of the projects is handled by PlayStation Productions firsthand.
Okay, so then
not licensed out, as is the case with similar enterprises at other game companies.
Cool.
So it does sound like they're going to try to do it all in-house, which doesn't. It sounds like it's going to take, what, 5 years to spin up a studio that can do this stuff.
Now, I haven't seen it yet. They did just make Raising Kratos, the documentary. Yeah, that's a great point. It's really good.
Yeah,
and that might have been a kind of like test bed situation here.
Sure.
Documentaries easier to make than narrative TV series.
Right.
But
Danny O'Dwyer, dumb as a box of rocks, but he makes a good documentary. You know what I mean?
Kids in the chat make a good point as well. Neck. There you go.
That can change everything.
Hey, man.
The tides will turn.
That's what it was always. Oh, Neck's a fun platformer for kids. They make some kind of VeggieTales Neck.
This is what
thing
they were building towards.
Exactly. Yeah. This is what Cerny's vision was the entire time. God bless you. Good luck. Matt! Penza does get the final word, though. Tim Geddes. He wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, I can't help but see this as a reaction to how well Nintendo's IP, Detective Pikachu, recently did in theaters, and Sega's IP, Sonic the Hedgehog, getting buzz in the recent trailer, even though it was mostly negative. Nevertheless, my question is, what Sony IP do you believe they will try out first on the big screen? Personally, I think with all the success that Crash Bandicoot has gotten over the Insane trilogy, along with Crash Team Racing coming out soon, that a Crash movie would make sense. It appeals to the nostalgia factor for older folks and also will probably be more for kids of a kids movie to appeal to them. However, I'm not totally sure how Sony can make a Crash movie because I think Activision actually owns the Crash IP, so don't kill me in the comments for you're wrong.
Yeah, Crash was recently featured in the Skylanders cartoon on Netflix. That went over well.
Did it or no? I don't know. Did anyone care about the Skylanders cartoon? Or
little kids, yeah. It was a little kid.
So why
thing.
Are you in there? Why are you in there shitting about it? What do you care?
I'm not shitting on it. No, I'm just saying it's like they're doing this. Okay. Like this happens. It's,
what do you think the first Sony IP
is? This
was?
Is happening for the audience that it should be happening for. We don't need a Crash Bandicoot movie in the same way that the Sonic movie. It's like, what are you doing? Like, if you're going to make a Sonic movie, don't do this. Like, he's in the real world and blah, blah, blah. No, what the fuck? Make a Sonic movie. Make a movie based on Sonic and the characters. I feel like Detective Pikachu worked because it wasn't about Pikachu. It was about the world.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And, like, they had that. A movie about Crash Bandicoot? I don't know. It's, no.
What do you think? What do you think, Sony? What's the first thing they're going to announce? What is PlayStation Production Studio going to announce?
I really don't know, man.
I think, yeah. PlayStation Productions, first thing, I think will have to be an animated something or other.
But it's like, I don't think that that does anything. That's not enough. They did Ratchet and Clank. That was a major movie, you know? Yeah. Like, that was in theaters. It had a promotional push as a theatrical release, like, yeah, meaning something more than just, oh, we made a cartoon, you
sure,
know?
Sure, sure. But and again, like, it could have been more successful if PlayStation Productions did it. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think so. I was like looking forward to Ratchet and Clank because it looked decent. It looked like it was Ratchet and Clank as a movie. And it was. It just wasn't the best parts. It was kind of like a weird. It just didn't hit the highs that the game did.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't think that was the fault of PlayStation not being involved. I don't know what the
You're
first
right.
thing would be. Yeah.
I think it'll be animated because I think that's quicker to turn around.
I mean, I don't think that's true.
If you and I started a production studio tomorrow, we're not going to, I don't think, launch into, we're going to make a full-length fake feature film God of War. You know what I mean?
I don't know. The fact that they're making it this big of a thing and that they're launching this does tell me that they want to start off with something huge.
You think so?
So I feel like the first announcement is that they're taking over whatever Uncharted movie is already in production.
That just doesn't work. You can't just do that.
I mean, they couldn't just, like,
whoever's been working, that movie's never going to happen. So
exactly.
Who cares?
Whoever's been fucking working on it can't just do that because it hasn't fucking come out yet.
Maybe they do Last of Us. Maybe they rest, you know, the thing that's just been gestating forever. Maizie Williams was attached to it, like, but I mean, we were at IGN.
That's being like, Marvel, like, hey, they're fucking up Spider-Man, so Marvel's just gonna do it. It's like, that's just not how it
but
works.
But it's in Sony Pictures already. If it's just sitting there on ice, nobody cares about it, you know what I mean? Yeah. If not, then God of War.
Yeah, all right.
Do a God of War movie.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying do a God of War movie. I'm saying please close this down and stop trying to make all these things into movies that are never good. Yeah. But I could see God of War being the movie. Yes, if we want to start big, you want to come out swinging, huh?
My boy DP.
I have no idea.
Pikachu.
They are good sometimes, my boy DP. Like, what? Double penetration?
I thought Deadpool. I was like, what? What point are you trying to make?
Well, there you go.
We'll see, ladies and gentlemen. Keep holding your breath for all these movies that get announced and never fucking go anywhere. Number three. Tim, would you be shocked to know the Switch has outsold the PlayStation 4 in Japan for lifetime sales?
I would not, because we covered this on Friday.
Everybody, go listen to Friday. Wait, Friday's? Yeah, I was on Friday's episode. So Thursday. Episode? Really? All right, well, mm-hmm. There you go then. Listen to Thursday's episode. I thought I was finally clear of it. My apologies. Number four. Is there Call of Duty turmoil? This is from Jason Schreier over at Kotaku, who reports. Next year's Call of Duty has gone through a major upheaval as publisher Activision informed developers this week that studios Raven and Sledgehammer, which had until now led the project, will no longer be in charge. Instead, according to three people familiar with the goings-ons at the companies, Treyarch will lead development on a new Black Ops for 2020. It's a significant shift for Activision's massive first-person shooter franchise, which is one of the most lucrative video game series on the planet. Every fall for the past 15 years, Activision has put out a new Call of Duty game supported by a stable of different developers who rotated duties as required. Since 2012, Activision has followed a three-year cycle for its three lead studios, Infinity Ward, Treyarch, and Sledgehammer. For 2020, Activision had originally switched things up, assigning the Wisconsin-based support studio Raven to take a leadership role alongside Sledgehammer to make a Call of Duty game set in the Cold War, parentheses likely involving Vietnam. As of very recently, that's changed. Now, Treyarch, based in based in Santa Monica, California, is in charge of leading Call of Duty Black Ops 5 for 2020. According to those briefed on the overhaul, Treyarch will take creative leadership on this new Black Ops, while Raven and Sledgehammer will serve as support studios for the game, transforming the work they've done on their own single-player story mode into a campaign for Black Ops 5, which will also be set during the Cold War. Parentheses, this may be a welcome return to fans who criticize lack of campaign in Black Ops 4. It will likely be a cross-gen game to coincide with the launch of the next PlayStation and Xbox, which are expected to launch in the fall of 2020. What this means is rather than getting 3 years to make the next game after Black Ops 4, Treyarch will have just two.
So I saw this article this weekend from Jason, and it made me realize a key thing, which is for all my years in this industry, I'll still never understand the Call of Duty
switch
who's
off?
Making what.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like I feel like I should have that just like that's what I'd have on my whiteboard.
Sure, yeah.
This information is interesting that they'd be breaking the chain of how they've normally done it.
And then shortening some development cycle.
But it also kind of sounds like if Sledgehammer's then going to be handling the single player that they've been working on, this is giving Treyarch 2 years to make just multiplayer, right? Instead of three.
Well, now Treyarch is in this thing would be coming. They're coming into it brand new and taking over where it was. They weren't involved ever with it in terms of what's supposed to be the Black Ops for 2020.
So Treyarch made last year's, right? That was Black Ops 4.
Correct.
That was multiplayer only.
Right. Then Infinity War Ward is going to be the next one, which, as Jason points out, and this is just probably going to be another Modern Warfare. And then the next one would be Sledgehammer back on from doing World War II. World War II, right? Call of Duty,
yes, WW2. But so now it is looking like instead of that, it's going to be Black Ops 5 with a single player mode made by Sledgehammer.
Yeah.
And multiplayer made by the same people, same team that just made Black Ops 4.
Right.
That came out last year.
Now you're getting into the weeds here. We need a flow chart to figure out what you're talking about.
I'm right about what I'm saying.
But, okay.
It's like it is less development time, but I also feel like they're going to significantly work off of what they have from
right, because according to those briefs, Treyarch will take creative leadership. What the hell's going on in the other room? And then transforming the work they've done on their own single player story mode into a campaign for Black Ops 5.
Yeah.
So it's like now Treyarch, see, it's creative leadership. So it's like Treyarch, according to this, what's happening is Treyarch's coming in saying, all right, cool, here's what we're actually going to do, and then taking what you already have and merging it into their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's not like Treyarch will take creative leadership on this new Black Ops, while Raven and Sledgehammer will serve as support studios for the game, transforming the work they've done on their own single-player story into a campaign for Black Ops 5. Yeah.
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 And it being cross-gen is interesting, too.
That's just like Ghosts was back in the day.
Yeah, but I mean, that, you know, is just more evidence leading to a fall 2020 release for the next gen consoles.
Yeah. It's a weird, complicated story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all based on rumor and speculation, obviously. Jason's, you know, sources on the inside.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder what this means. Why? There's multiple things. One could be the decline in sales in Call of Duty that still are astronomical and ridiculous, just not on the same track they used to be. And on top of that, you know, all the kind of creative shakeups that were happening with Sledgehammer the last couple of years. Because wasn't it last year that the top dudes left
Sledgehammer?
Jason,
I'm obviously cherry picking article. He brings up the fact that Michael Condrey and Glenn Schofield left as well. Left last year, or whatever. Interesting.
It is.
It's one of those things. It's a Call of Duty thing. It's just an interesting rumble or interesting rumor at that point. Honestly,
it's interesting to me because it's like, all right, so what are the learnings here? What are the findings where it seems like they're like, oh shit, we fucked up not having single player, but it also kind of just feels like they're just grasping at whatever. Like, just put single player this, multiplayer that, we'll just put them together. And that's
an interesting
want.
Wrinkle to it, too, where you're talking about, how, you know, this may, you know, it came in for Black Ops 5, which may be said, or you're in the Cold War. So that's the thing here, right? Is that the game basically Black Ops 5 is being pushed up a year, right? That's what we're talking about here, is that according to this, it would have been that Sledge and Treyarch were working on their own Call of Duty game X, we're going to call it, right? And now they're like, no, you're not. We're going to have Treyarch come in and take their Black Ops 5 and apply it to this and take that vision towards the full future on this.
So it sounds like two games are becoming one, those two games being multiplayer and single player.
Interesting. You're right, yeah. Because it's not, it's staying away from talking about it in terms of a multiplayer focus. But that doesn't surprise... I guess it does surprise me. Because I felt like it was an interesting idea to have everybody have their own little thing, right? You have your own little niche. Mm-hmm. And where it was like, all right, cool, Black Ops is an established brand. It's going to look like this. Now it's multiplayer. If that worked out well for 4, 5 will go on that same track, right? Mm-hmm. Sledgehammer just did World War II, right? Are they going to continue being the past one? Mm-hmm. Infinity Ward is going to be the modern one, right? The one that's happening in current times with their crazy timeline and stuff like that.
They did Ghost, right? So Ghost, Modern Warfare, Advanced Warfare...
Infinite Warfare.
No, they didn't do Advanced. They did Infinite, right?
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about.
I don't know. We're not Call of Duty guys. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I know how they'll switch off, keeping up. Jason had it in his article. A little rundown of it. Here we go.
The bigger question to me is, what does this mean for Call of Duty? Are we seeing the Assassin's Creedization of Call of Duty? Are they going to stop being annual? Is this the stopgap where they're like, hey,
you think they push Black Ops 5 up so then push out?
Yeah.
Mayhaps. Here we go. So let's just go through it just so we have the record straight. 2012, Treyarch, Black Ops 2. 2013, Infinity Ward, Ghost. 2014, Sledgehammer, Advanced Warfare. 2015, Treyarch, Black Ops 3. 2016, Infinity Ward, Infinite Warfare. Mm-hmm. 2017, Sledgehammer, World War 2. 2018, Black Ops 3. 2019, Infinity... Now, according to Jason, Infinity Ward... Or no, I'm sorry, no. 2019 Infinity Ward, and then Jason has unannounced, but at this point it's basically an open secret that it's a new Modern Warfare.
Cool.
So I said all that. Ron, though, wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, the Kotaku report on Call of Duty mentioned Black Ops 4's declining numbers, and do you think the over-monetization may be the case? In every other multiplayer game, players get free content supported by loot boxes, skins, etc. But Call of Duty has all that while still requiring the purchase of a season pass for any new maps. Activision is trying to have its cake and eat it too. Ron. No. I don't think that's the problem.
Yeah, me neither.
I think the declining sales, this is the part of the conversation I was more adept and ready to talk about. The declining sales of Call of Duty are just the fact that Call of Duty is no longer the phenomenon it once was. It isn't a game. I mean, remember, Call of Duty used to like stop the world when it came out, right? And the same thing with Madden back in the day. Mm-hmm. There's just too much competition now. You can get excited for this, but Fortnite, Apex, there's a million free-to-play games out there that are giving you a great experience. Different, sure, but it used to be COD was the place to go be competitive and go play, and they've lost that. And yeah, I do think that, you know, Black Ops 4, you know, Black Ops 4 is declining numbers. Yeah, the barrier to entry of, hey, cool, it's a multiplayer-only game with a whole suite of content and a whole bunch of shit to do is cool, but there's so many free-to-play games that are updating, if not daily or weekly, updating more frequently in a way that here there's no barrier to entry. Whenever Apex Legends drops Season 2, right, that's going to explode. People are going to run out of and be playing it and talking about it and streaming and all this stuff. Trying to drum up support for a game that is paywalled at $60, not even microtransaction, is so much harder.
Having said that, though, they lost it. It's the same conversation we have with Microsoft and Sony, where it's like, okay, Xbox is number 2. It's still sold better than the Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. It's still selling extremely well. Call of Duty is still ridiculously successful.
100%. I'm not taking away from that.
You know, it's just like, there is more competition, but I do feel like it needs to be said, like, these games are still making ridiculous amounts of money and pushing the games industry forward.
Number 5. A short and sweet one for you for a big day. Console players finally beat the Division 2 raid over the weekend. Oh, damn it. I think this is Kotaku. Barrett, give me a Google on that. 3 days after its release, the Division 2's 8-player raid is no longer unbeaten on consoles. The game's PlayStation 4 leaderboards show that 2 8-player teams have cleared it. The first clocking in at over 36 hours, the second at nearly 20 hours. Who wrote it, Barrett? It's Kotaku. It's
Kotaku. It's Stephen Totillo.
Oh, great, Stephen. The Xbox One leaderboard shows a team clearing it in 17 hours. My apologies. A team of PC players first cleared the raid when it launched on Thursday, battling through its four boss battle encounters inside and outside of a fictional Washington, D.C. airport in just over 5 hours. Console leaderboards, however, have been blank for days. PC players, meanwhile, are now romping through the raid. The initial five-hour completion time has long since been shattered. Players on that platform are now clearing it in under 24 minutes. Just an update to that. If you listen to the Gamescast that we recorded last week, now available everywhere, we ended with a bunch of Division 2 raid talk, as we were like, hey, we're going to play it tonight. It's all fucked up. What's going on? And it, like, Steven's article actually has a whole bunch of quotes and pulls from the people who beat it on console saying, no, it's not a thing. You can do this. You just need to do this, that, and the other a little bit different. It still seems like it's super, super hard, mm-hmm. which, again, I'm not against, but I don't have a loadout build. Me, Fran, and the Kinda Funny Clan played all Friday night from, 6 to 11:30 doing the raid, and we never got the first boss past. I think the most we ever got was two of his little bars knocked down, but he healed so quickly. But the conversation in Steven's article with the people who beat it were, it's not even so much you need a crazy loadout as much as you just need to communicate and be on it a very specific way. And so we'll see as that continues.
Raids are cool.
They are cool, and I'm looking forward to beating it 10 years from now. Number six, there's been a Doctor Who VR game announced. This is Matt Perslow over at IGN. Doctor Who, The Edge of Time, casts you as a friend of the Doctor, portrayed by the current incarnation, Jodie Whittaker, attempting to find and rescue the Time Lord from nefarious forces. Thankfully, you're armed with her sonic screwdriver, which will come in handy for the variety of puzzles the game throws at you. Described as feature length, Doctor Who, The Edge of Time will span several hours and pit you against the Daleks. These are the guys who... Wait, hold on. Not intruder alert. Exterminate.
Yes.
All my Doctor Who knowledge is based on Lego Dimensions, and I'm feeling pretty confident. All right. The Weeping Angels, who are the guys... They jump around. I remember, though. You close your eyes, or it goes dark, and they move.
If you look away from them, they move.
They're like booze. The brand new monster and brand new monsters as you attempt to recover a collection of time crystals that will help repair space-time. As you can imagine, this will require you to pilot the TARDIS and travel to a variety of worlds and time periods. The game, which Maze Theory compares more to interactive television and immersive theater than a classic video game, will be available this September for PlayStation VR, Oculus Rift, HTC Vive, and Vive Cosmos.
Dope.
Cool.
Sam, I don't want to hear a fucking word about you talking shit about the Weeping Angels, okay?
Yeah, I don't want to hear it either.
Hey, you Doctor Hooligans. That's what you call yourselves, right?
They do call them hooligans.
God, do they really?
No.
Oh, damn it.
Whoville. Hoovians.
Hooligans.
I'm going to go with hooligans.
Okay. Tim?
Yeah.
I'm excited for this Doctor Who VR game to come out and be an interactive television or immersive theater experience. Okay. Let's see how much fun this one is, like that Planet of the Apes game. But it's still so far away. If I wanted something more pertinent, like what was coming to the mom and pop shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Before I tell you about the games, let me tell you about our sponsors. First up, it's Quip. It's time for spring cleaning, and Quip's got an easy way to start with brushing habits. Just 2 minutes twice a day can help pave the way to a healthier mouth and mind. And now the whole family can get refreshed with Quip. The new Kids Quip has the same 2-minute timer and guiding pulses as our original version with no childish gimmicks, so they can brush like a grown-up. The new brush is the same as our original version, just tweaked for size-down mouths. Kids are inspired to brush their teeth better and more often with oral care that looks and feels like the products the adults use in their life, and they're proud to use Quip. Help them develop a grown-up routine without childish gimmicks. It has kid-friendly features like a small brush head, watermelon anti-cavity toothpaste, and a rubber grip handle in colors the little ones will love. Why should you use Quip? Well, there's a built-in timer that pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides and help you evenly clean your entire mouth, because 90% of us don't brush for the full 2 minutes and don't clean evenly. Brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5, a friendly reminder when it's time to refresh and stay committed to your oral health.
Great.
Yeah.
Today, me and you, in hours, are about to fly to Florida. Guess what? I got my Quip, and I was very excited today to take my toothbrush, take the little travel holder, flip it the other way, put them together. Boom.
Travel ready. You know I wrote the doc for the people who are doing the show without me. This is what I put in here. You know Greg loves Quip. He talks about it all the time and is traveling with it to Florida right now. Quip starts at just $25, and you can get yours at getquip.com/games right now, and you'll get your first refill pack free. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/games. We love Quip. Next up, it's Third Love. Third Love is making amazing bras that Gia, Jen, and all the kind of honeys are wearing on a daily basis.
Wearing today?
How do you know?
I saw her put it on today.
But you guys aren't married yet.
I hate you so much.
man, and they've got the perfect bra for you. Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and premium feel. Find your fit with Third Love's online Fit Finder. Order and try it at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. You answer a few questions, and you find your perfect fit in 60 seconds. Over 12 million women have taken the quiz to date. It's actually fun. It takes less than a minute to complete. Third Love helps you identify your breast size and shape and find styles that fit your body. Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. And if you don't love it, return it, and Third Love will wash it and donate to a woman in need. Third Love's team of expert fit stylists are dedicated to helping you find the perfect fit. Stylists are available every day to help via text, chat, or phone. Returns and exchanges are free and easy. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/games now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/games for 15% off today. Got you good with that one, didn't
you? You did. That was really good.
Out today in games, here you go. Neon Boost PC.
Cool.
This is the full title. Shit. Sometimes to deal with the difficulty of being alive, I need to believe there is a possibility that life is not real on PC.
This sounds like a Bear Courtney-ass game. Let's go.
Find me a trailer. They Came from the Sky on PC, Skywalk on PC, Badland Caravan on PC, Beetle Elf on PC, Incredible Dracula 3, Family Secret on PC, Max. Throw it up. Throw it up, Barrett. Here it is. This is the game that is out right now. A video experience. Okay, a simulation. The Elder Scrolls Online Elsewhere is out today. And then I put it on here because I got confused by the Oculus Quest subreddit. And I said that Oculus Rift S and Oculus Quest are out today. Mm-hmm. But they're actually out tomorrow. But I won't be on the show tomorrow. So this is once again my chance just to say I love the Quest. I'm setting up the office unit in the back because I was like, there's no way I'm bringing mine from home in. So get one for the office.
Hell yeah.
So it's a big deal around here. Barrett, I expect you to play some of it while I'm gone.
Cool.
New dates for you. Reventure leaves early access on Steam June 4th. Double Fine and Namco Bandai's Rad is going to launch on August 20th. Exera Survival enters early access on May 24th. And Knights is launching June 7th.
Cute.
Tim, let's get one question in here. Maybe two, depending on how we go. How I'm feeling. No, I'm going to do one. And it goes to the 2038 Pokemon CEO, who writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, what is signing an embargo like? Is it countless pages of legal jargon, a paragraph or bullet points of what you can and can't talk about? Are there embargoes you decline to sign? Thanks, Pokemon CEO.
I feel like you have much more experience than me with this, but I would say that they come in all shapes and sizes.
Yeah.
It's all contextual based on who you're talking to. Yep. I would say the most common ones for me are an email, where someone will send me an email and be like, hey, are you interested in doing review coverage or preview coverage or whatever for this game? If so, here's the information on what you can and can't do or whatever. And it's like, if you agree to this, reply, I need you to say this, this, and this. And that to each of these. It's like kind of a terms of service type thing. Yeah. And you reply, and then they send you a code.
Yeah, for codes, it's super simple. It is usually like email acts as a documentation. So it is just like, hey, you want this code? You got to agree to this embargo. Or I'll give you this information about the game I'm trying to get you, but you have to give me this embargo. Sure. When you go to a Judges Week or whatever, it's way more boilerplate of like, here's like, a front and back document that you sign. That's basically, you just look at the date. You always look at the date.
Yeah, it's usually there's a date. You sign your name. They usually ask like what outlet you're for and what position you have. And that's all that they need.
And it's that thing of they're there and it's all an honor system for the most part. You know, when IGN or when at IGN or even here, when we fuck something up and publish the thing an hour early or a day before, I'm sure there's jargon in there that could take us to court. But I think everybody knows in this industry that it's not done maliciously. If it was done maliciously, it'd be a different story. But it's fine. Everybody's fine with it. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to fuck over their peers, let alone the people who are making these games, let alone the companies that are helping you see them and stuff to that effect.
Yeah.
So it's different for everything. Usually not for me, most of the time it is just a, hey, I want to give you this. You agree to this thing? Yep. Okay, cool. You write back. I agree to this. It's the same thing where before PlayStation will send us a code, which has its own embargo, which you'll have to agree to usually. We get the thing of, hey, we're getting ready to send codes for X game. Before we send them, you need to agree that you'll follow the social media guidelines, which is that FTC garbage we always have to do of like, game provided by PlayStation.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. I didn't buy it from Walmart 3 weeks early to review it. Son of a bitch.
And to be clear, We only think it's bullshit because we have to do it, and like IGN doesn't. And it's like, why? Why?
Oh, yeah. I don't mind. I think if any, you, we've had this conversation a million times on the show, but to just explain it one more time, I love transparency, obviously. It's what our whole fucking this shit is built on, right? But I hate the fact that when it's, I played this and I hated this or I like that. And it's like, not even the review, okay, fine, whatever. But then weeks later, I can think it's. It's all so fast and loose, and it would be so much easier if they were just like, hey, you know what? You're in the press bucket.
So anytime
the press bucket doesn't need to do the FTC thing.
It was provided by PlayStation.
Exactly. I just want to, we need to just, I don't even want to do that. We need to just do a thing of like, thanks for watching the Kind of Funny Games, or, you know, in the beginning, like, this is the Kind of Funny Games cast, or all of our fucking shit. I don't know, but like, get it early on this. And also, if we review a game, it was sent to us for free. Chill out, FTC. Because it's like, it's only PlayStation, and now it's like there's been like one or two other little games that have seeped in starting. It's like, oh, if we're going to have to do this, we might as well just throw out a blatant statement. Basically, what we're saying is, Barrett sucks.
Read between the lines.
It's true.
Nobody squatted up today. Remember, if you want to squat up and get your name right here for people to come play games with you, you need to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. The problem is, I was off all last week. For the most part. So, like, I don't know what squad ups got read. Mm-hmm. And it's all coming together fast, and we had to go to Florida today.
Quite the Frandria week. A lot of Fran.
This week?
A lot of Andrea.
Oh, yeah. Coming up. Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. I'm not there yet. Don't spoil it.
Oh, you know shit. What I mean? Calm down. You're wrong. Yeah.
Come on, that's a whole fucking thing. So, yeah. Squad up with each other. Have some fun. If you're in Florida, come squad up with us. Remember,
hell
the
yeah.
meet and greet at Full Sail Hall of Fame is Wednesday, 1 p.m. in Building 3EB's lobby. And then sometime Wednesday night, off-campus Orlando meet and greet. Y'all better fucking be there.
I have it on good authority.
Come to Florida. Come to Florida.
Mario Not Bros will be there.
I saw somebody call them out because he's like, I don't know if I'll make the drive. And they're like, motherfucker, you have a tattoo. Get in the car. And he's like, got it.
He's coming.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong is where we ask the people who are watching live to go to correct us on all the things we screw up so we can set the record straight. For everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Nanobiologist is all over today, so let's get some of his. The Raising Kratos documentary was made by Santa Monica Studios and produced by PlayStation, not made by PlayStation, as you talked about on the movie discussion.
Dope.
Nanobiologist again. Black Ops 5 is actually being pushed up by 2 years. If the cycle continues, it would have come out in 2021. Sledgehammer made Advanced Warfare. I think we cleared that up, but I don't understand. Nanobiologist corrects himself. I misunderstood what you're the article and what you're talking about. Disregard the Black Ops thing. Let's ignore all of that. Everybody, we're just ignoring it. Don't worry about it. Black Jack pops up and said, Tim said the Xbox One is outselling the 360. As of now, 60 months on the market, the Xbox One X has sold 39.51 million units, while its predecessor, the Xbox 360, sold 44.77 million units. There you go. Nanobiologist says Doctor Who fans are called Whovians. I thought I was making that up.
That's very rude.
I crushed it, huh?
They're from Whoville.
Horton here is a Whovian. He's talking about a TARDIS. Nanobiologist says, and this is not a you're wrong, but I'm gonna allow it because it's nanobiologist. To follow up on the 2038 Pokemon CEO's question, do you keep the paper records of any contract/embargo you sign for your records? Or do you toss them when they're done? Or do you need to retain the embargo in documents for X amount of years for legal reasons? When I sign them at an event, I just fucking toss them back at the PR person, see you later, and I walk away.
Yeah, twerp.
Yeah. I was looking for an insult, and I was like, you know, I'm not going to reach because I love all the people.
To give context for my side as well, because I played a bunch of games at IGN, like there would be some ones that like I would have to keep because they were so complicated. Yeah. Of like, you're allowed to on this day at 5 a.m.
Oh, it sounds like a rock star embargo.
No, anytime you get one other guest though.
Anytime I get a Nintendo game for review, I need to keep that one, or at least keep the email, because it's a lot of things of like, during the review, you can talk about the first third third, but don't talk about the second third.
There's
there's
a little bit of a difference there in terms of what we're all talking about, right? When it's just the date, no, fine. Don't worry about it. I write in my notes or whatever. When we sign something through email, it's always there, so I don't delete an email. Don't worry about it. But then, when it is like a PlayStation first party, there's always a spoiler guidelines at the back of like
PlayStation. Hey, Nintendo are real deep with the stuff, which is good. I mean, in terms of at least we know what we can.
You can
and can't
start
talk
streaming
about.
This day, but you can only play through this chapter. But when this happens or this guy says that, it's like that kind of shit is embargoed, but it's also very clear instructions. Yeah. I think more than even an embargo. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim and I are going to sunny Florida, America's Wang. Again, come hang out with us. Here's the rundown of hosts for the rest of the week. Tuesday, Fran and Andrea. Wednesday, Andrea and Witta. Thursday, Fran and Andrea. Friday, Fran in snowbike mode.
SBM. Boo, 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 boo.
If you didn't know, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday on a variety of platforms. YouTube.com, Patreon.com. You go there, you put Kind of Funny Games in there, you find us. Everybody's like, hey, there we are. Neat, cool. If you like that, like the shows, go over there. Go to Kevin's Twitter. Say, hey, Kev, how you doing, man? Give him a hashtag. Beep, boop, beep, boop. And yeah, have a good time. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.